This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm the Godfather Nate Milton, and I am joined in his triumphant return to the program back from a week of debauchery in Las Vegas. My partner in crime, he's a firework. Come on, let his colors burst. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Vandenberg is back. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think the question everybody wants to know is, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm had an interesting trip. I'll leave it at that. We'll get more more into the trip later on the show.
Yes, well, We had the show last week. For those of you who listened last week, it was just me for the majority of the show. We had Brian Shields come on, and he's definitely interested in coming back when you're available, Marcus.
Okay, cool. I think
it'd be a very interesting conversation. You know, not only did I learn that, you know, he's of course got the wrestling connection, but he used to work for Acclaim Sports.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he worked on the Derek Jeter All-Star Baseball video game, and he worked on Legends of Wrestling. So yeah. We could talk to him about that for like another half hour.
He's worked on some trash video games, man. Sorry, Brian, but
I'm trying to think, like Acclaim, like their heyday was probably back in what, the late 80s? With the WWF games?
Yeah, probably Nintendo for sure. But they were also NBA Jam, so.
Really?
Late 80s, early 90s.
I thought NBA Jam was Midway.
I think, weren't they involved somehow too as well?
Hold on. We got to start off the program with a mystery. Let me
Evolution.
NBA Jam. All right, it was developed by Midway and published by Midway. That's the original one.
Okay.
Now let's see.
Acclaim Sports. Sure, this is fascinating for the listener.
Oh, wow. The funny thing about Wikipedia is it always leads you down a rabbit hole. Remember that video? Remember the video game NFL Blitz?
Oh, yeah. That was a favorite at the arcades.
NFL Blitz.
Oh, okay. Here's a list of games. Why they worked in All-Star Baseball? Okay.
Yeah, he did that with Derek Jeter, because we talked about Jeter last week, and he was giving me this great story about how he was trying to hook up meeting between Jeter and Hulk Hogan, because Acclaim had licenses to Legends of Wrestling and All-Star Baseball, but it never happened.
WWE WrestleMania in your house. Virtual tennis. All right, virtual tennis too.
Really? They did that?
Yeah, for the PlayStation 2.
That was a good game.
Yeah. Wow, okay, yeah, that's interesting. Huh. Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, they have all the arcade games that I would still play now if I could find them.
Like Crazy Taxi on the Dreamcast was like one of my favorite time wasters back in the day.
Yeah.
Like Dreamcast was a underrated system. Like they had Crazy Taxi, they had NBA 2K, they had NFL 2K. Like I missed that series. Like NFL 2K was so much better than Madden, it's not even funny. Like everything that Madden has done in the past, when they get the exclusive license, was that like 10 years ago?
Yeah, pushing 10 years.
Yeah, everything in the past decade that Madden's done, like none of their innovations have competed with what NFL 2K was doing before that, man. Because they had, remember they had first-person football? Yeah. They were the first to come out with that. They had the commentary. They had, like, your franchise and your legacy settings and all that. Yeah, man, NFL 2K. Like, I would buy, I was going to say I'd buy a Dreamcast, but I think they had it on PS2. So I'd go buy a PS2 just to play that again. Then they had the other game, which was once they lost the license, it was like NFL Greats.
Oh yeah, that
with,
yeah.
With O.J. Simpson on the team,
and that was like post murder.
Yes,
allegedly.
The big deal was like when he scored a touchdown, the mascot would do a throat slashing motion.
Oh man,
it's like, come on, man! How do you do that, man, and not get fired?
Yeah, I mean, he was really like the poster child of this whole domestic abuse thing for the NFL players. He didn't know it at the time, but he set the bar, and it's been downhill since then.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Speaking of abuse in the NFL and their problems and getting fired or not getting fired, let's talk about your boy Bill Simmons real quick before we get to anything else. It's been a hot topic on Twitter and on social media. Hashtag free Simmons. What do you make? This isn't the first suspension ESPN has done surrounding the NFL. It's not even the first suspension ESPN has done this year. You know, Levitard was suspended, Stephen A. Smith suspended, and now Bill Simmons has a 3-week suspension, aka a 3-week paid vacation.
No,
what are your thoughts?
No, wait.
Really?
I gotta correct you. It's unpaid.
Unpaid, really?
Yeah, I heard you with Pollock, and then I think that same day, the Sports Business Journal put out a story that sort of had more information about how the suspension happened and whatnot. And it's unpaid. He's not getting paid for the suspension.
Wow. That changes things a bit.
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, ESPN had to do it, though, Marcus. I mean, you can't.
Oh, yeah. You
can't get on the radio or on your podcast and dare your employer to do something and then not think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I was at work when this happened, and I was going back and forth with one of my coworkers who, like, he, I don't think he understood, like, what the big deal was. And I was like, it's not so much what he said about Goodell, which they also did cite, but you can't call out your employer like that. At some point, you got to put your foot down. And when you're talking about a guy like Bill Simmons, who people already feel like ESPN treats him differently than other employees, when you take it to a point where you're challenging your employer, you have to do something. And ESPN responded, and I was surprised it was 3 weeks. I thought maybe a week, but you know, maybe this would get the point across to Simmons that, you know, you aren't the president of ESPN. You are an employee of ESPN, and as an employee, you have people you report to. One of those people he reports to is John Skipper, who is his boss, one of his bosses. And, it was a wild moment. But, I mean, in a way, it's kind of genius because now he's brought more attention to himself. Whenever that suspension ends, it's October 15th, that first podcast will have great numbers, I'm sure, because people will be curious to see what he has to say. But I do think when his contract is up next year that I don't see him at this point coming back to ESPN. I think he's built enough of a brand. He's had enough money to sort of do his own independent thing. And I don't see why he would want to answer to someone like an ESPN if he doesn't have to.
Really? So you think that they're not going to re-up?
I don't think so.
Because I hear what you're saying and I agree with a lot of it. But I also think that there is value in being connected, even if you get some of the headaches and the hassles. There's value in being connected with that brand of ESPN.
But I think he's already at the point where he's exhausted those values. I mean, I don't know what else he could get. He had the TV thing. He stopped doing that. He's at Grantland. I think that might be the one deciding factor. I'm not sure if he owns the site, if ESPN owns the site, how much control he has in terms of, you know, behind the scenes. I mean, I know he runs the site on a day-to-day basis, but if he wanted to take that site and take it elsewhere, would he run into trouble? So, I could see him totally doing his whole independent thing at this point. I don't think someone like a Fox it would make any sense for him to go to another network, unless he wants to do TV full time. If he doesn't want to do TV, and he just wants to focus on writing and running a website, then just do your own thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if that's the path he wants to go down, there is maybe more opportunities to go as a singular entity. But in terms of broadcasting, yeah, he's got to get in bed with somebody eventually down the line if that's what he wants to do. The other thing, though, if, like you said, the Grantland thing is a little bit murky. I don't have the exact information on that. But if he does have the controlling interest in Grantland, he's able to take that property. You know who that opens up the door for?
Who?
Jason Whitlock, Black Grantland, you up next.
Well, that's already happening. That's supposed to launch in January.
I was going to say, they might as well just push it back to February.
I know, that's what I'm hoping for. February 1st.
So this is happening.
Oh, this is happening. Yeah. For real.
Okay. So I guess the negative press or whatever didn't hurt at the end of the day.
Around who? Whitlock or Simmons?
Whitlock. Around Whitlock. With remember we talked about, was it the Deadspin article?
Oh yeah. No, that didn't hurt him.
Well, good. I'm interested in seeing what they can do with that. So yeah, shout out to Jason Whitlock. But we talked about Grantland, and Grantland is the home for one of my favorite podcasts, not named the Kings of Sport, Marcus, the Jalen Jacoby Show. And we are recording this on a Tuesday night, full disclosure, and Tuesday just happened to be National Podcast Day. I had no idea this until Brother Jamie from Mr. Throwback Thursday posted it on his Facebook page and on Twitter. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I think what we're going to do right now, Marcus, is just take a little time and let's enjoy the spirit of National Podcast Day and talk about some shows that we like and maybe our audience is not aware of, and maybe that'll give them some things to listen to while they're waiting for the next edition of our show to come out. So I think we'll take the law shows off the board, since I think a lot of our audience knows about that. And we'll take... I was going to say, do you want to just take wrestling off the board altogether?
Well, I only really listen... I mean, wrestling-wise, I only listen to the law shows. That's more than enough. So if you have other shows, then you might as well toss them out, because I don't have any wrestling shows besides
really
the law stuff.
In terms of wrestling, like, I'll listen to your wrestling show, which a buddy of mine does down here, and I'll listen to some of the MLW stuff every now and then.
Oh, I lie. I do have, like, Austin's show in here. And the Ross Report, but the Ross Report and actually Austin as well, it really depends on the interview. A lot of times I'll download it and see who's on it and then just delete it without even listening to it. So, and same thing now with Cheap Heat with Rosenberg and Shoemaker. It's becoming to the point where it's hard to listen to, just because Rosenberg's trying to play this dick character, and I just don't have time. I mean, I just want to listen to wrestling stuff. I don't need to hear you listen to play a gimmick and just, you know, be an asshole. So that one I'm listening to less and less these days. But
yeah, it's like he's trying to do his best Big Nasty impression.
Yeah, and you know, as you see with Big Nasty, it doesn't work out in the end. So
I was gonna hit him with who was that? What was that debate back in the day? Was it Lloyd Benson and Dan Quayle?
I thought you were gonna say Prince and Michael Jackson.
I was talking about the vice presidential debate. Oh. You know Jack Kennedy?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I knew Big Nasty. Big Nasty was a friend of mine. You know Big Nasty.
Yeah.
So, in terms of wrestling, pretty much for me, it's the Law and a couple of the MLW shows and, you know, a couple other shows here and there. But, yeah, so we'll take the Law stuff off the board and just kind of let's give three or four of our shows that – they kind of got our attention and are in. I don't know if you're you got an iPhone.
I do. That's a new iPhone, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got the iPhone's best imitation of a Samsung?
Yeah, well, that's sure.
Hey, that's what Neil Brennan told me on that commercial.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll take that quick, easy segue, and I'll give you my first show, and we'll just kind of go back and forth.
Okay.
One of the shows that is always in my, because I got a Samsung, and I've got the Stitcher app. And the cool thing is about the Stitcher app, which was the same kind of deal I had with iTunes, is, you know, you got the show you subscribe to, they're updated, this and that. And but the cool thing about this is it's all on my phone, whereas opposed to when I was doing it on iTunes, I had to do it with the iPod. So the show that is in, I got my little top five out right here. Number one on my top five is The Champs with Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher, two comedians out in L.A. Neil Brennan, the co-creator of Dave Chappelle's show. I said that real professionally. the Dave Chappelle show. The Chappelle show. And basically they've got like this rule where they have to have all black guests. And I think they've done like 100 shows or something like that. And there's only been two or three shows where the guests hadn't been black. They've talked to like Blake Griffin. They talked to,
he's half black. He counts.
Yeah, he counts. They talked to, I think my favorite show was like with, they had one with David Alan Greer, which was a really good one. Like if you're a fan of comedy and just comedians telling stories, but in particular, black comedians telling stories, which you don't get a lot of on a lot of the other podcasts. The Champs with Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher, it's a good listen. So that's my first recommendation on National Podcast Day. Marcus?
My first recommendation is a show I know you listen to as well, His and Hers, with Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. They started their podcast 1 month before we started the Kings of Sport. And they are a show that, even though it's an ESPN podcast, I would say maybe 50% of the time they actually discuss sports. It's a very fun show. If you don't know their sort of history, they've been friends for a long time. Actually, they were actually another mutual friend of theirs tried to set them up on a date and didn't work out, became good friends, now co-workers and colleagues, and you can really tell their chemistry. It really translates on the air, and it's a fun show. It's one of the few sports podcasts that my fiance will listen to, like on her own, without me listening to it in the car. So that's how you know it's not really sports heavy, because she really could care less about sports. So His and Hers.
It's a solid choice. Like you said, I listen to that almost on a regular basis. Like the good thing about Stitcher or iTunes or anything like that is I've got like there's sometimes when my work week is crazy. Mm-hmm. This past week our GM at the store quit. So this past week, like this is the first day I've had some free time since probably about a week ago. So everything's been crazy and hectic, so I haven't had a chance to listen to my shows, but like I've got my little queue of stuff I need to get caught up on. But the next show in my list of favorites is, let's go away from sports and go to the world of movies, in particular bad movies. And this is a show that always provides me with laughs, and it's How Did This Get Made? And basically they take a look, you know, it's what the title says. They take a look at bad movies and, you know, they bring on celebrity guests and they'll talk. It's, again, a lot of comedians talking, which is going to be a theme on my choices. Like the one of the recent movies they did was Glitter with Mariah Carey.
Oof.
Like the good thing about this show, like the real credit to this show is that they do such a good job of breaking down and making fun of these bad movies that you want to go back and watch them. But yeah, they've done like Glitter. They've done a bunch of Hulk Hogan movies. One of my favorite ones was when they did Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. So yeah, How Did This Get Made? It's Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. If you don't know the names, Paul Scheer is the guy that's the main character on what's the name of that show? NTS? The show on Adult Swim that's like on CSI. You know what I'm talking about?
No. I don't.
It's like, well, they got a mock show on Adult Swim that's basically like, you know, the CSI or all those other shows. And NTSF San Diego SUV is the name of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's like the main character. So he's a funny dude. All the hosts are funny. And if you're a fan of movies, particularly bad cinema, How Did This Get Made? It'll probably be right up your alley. So that's my second show.
All right. My second show, sticking with sports, is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yes. Now, see, I have got a question here, Marcus, because mm-hmm. this is going to be bring up one of my choices later, because I was going to say that shows, right, because one of the shows I listen to almost every day is Dan Le Batard. But that, like, is it a podcast or is it just a podcasted version of the radio show? You know what I mean?
It's a radio show that's available on podcasts.
Because I love Tony's show, too, but I'm not quite certain if it's a quote-unquote traditional podcast.
I see what you're saying. It's not a traditional podcast, but screw it. I listen to it on a podcast version. I don't listen to the radio show live. So I think it's fair. It counts.
What Mills Lane say on a death match, I'll allow it.
Yeah. I've been listening to Mr. Tony on the radio version now since college. I stumbled across this show when he was doing it on Edson Radio briefly, and fell in love with it because it's an adult talk show, an adult sports show, I would say. He's another person that it's really not super sports heavy. If it is sports based, it's usually around DC sports because that's where he lives. And he has a rule that he doesn't allow athletes on as guests, which I do appreciate because, as he points out, athletes really don't have anything to say. So a lot of his guests are people in the media, which I appreciate. And it's just a fun, quirky daily show. It's on 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. Gets into politics, gets into news, gets into current events. And, you know, if you like Kornheiser from the TV, from, pardon the interruption, you'd probably like him on the radio. So, the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. And again, I'll give an honorable mention to Dan Le Batard, who's very much in the same vein. It's a little more sports heavy than Tony's show, but I think Dan has some of the same sensibilities.
Yeah.
In the sense that he looks at it from a bigger perspective. And I appreciate that. And I try to bring some of that stuff into the Kings of Sports. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we end up talking about racial stuff. And that leads me to my next podcast, a show that I've talked about a couple times in the past few months. And that is Race Wars with Sherrod Small and Kurt Metzger. And yeah, if if you listen to the racial aspects of the Kings of Sport, magnify it by a million and throw in way more coarse language, you got Race Wars. I think it's a funny show. It's an honest show. You know, it's a show where everybody is fair game. Like, you know, we're not just making fun of the white guys. We're going to make fun of the white guys, the black guys, the gay guy, the straight guy, the Mexican guy, the fat guy, anybody, because everybody at the end of the day, you know, does something that's stupid or ridiculous or crazy. You know, we all have those traits. And I think Race Wars is a funny show, and they do a good job of just kind of talking about stuff without beating around the bush. Because I think a lot of shows want to talk about stuff like that, but they just won't come out and say it. Like, they'll be like, there's things that are going on, and people just need to talk. And the Race Wars is just like, hey, you know, white people screwed up here, or black people screwed up here, or we all screwed up here, and what are we going to do about it? So Race Wars is the next show on my list you should check out for National Podcast Day. What you got next, Marcus?
Next is another show that falls in the same category as Tony Kornheiser in terms of it's a radio show that's also that I listen to on the podcast.
Colin Cowherd.
Incorrect, no. wait, don't tell me. On NPR. It's basically a weekly, well, the description is the NPR's weekly current events quiz. It's an hour show that features three guests, usually comedians, and it's a fun way to get caught up on the news that might have happened in the past week. A lot of my time is spent focused on sports, so this is a good way that I at least in tune with what the hell is going on in the rest of the world. It's a weekly show, comes out usually on Saturdays, and you can listen to it on the radio on Saturday mornings as well on your local NPR affiliate. So yeah, and it's also one of those shows that they record in front of a live audience. So they record the show usually on Thursday evenings, and they're based out of Chicago, but they do travel on the road. So a lot of the times, they're coming from different parts of the country, which I appreciate. And, you know, people come out. It's just a cool atmosphere and a cool vibe.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Okay. I've heard of it. Never actually sat down and listened to an episode. I might have to check it out, though. My next show is, again, hosted by two comedians. And I don't know if you've heard of the show, Marcus, but as someone who, at least for a good part of their lives, has played video games, I think you might get a kick out of it. It's called The Indoor Kids. With Kumail, I'm going to butcher his name. Kumail Nanjiani, I think, is his name. And Emily Gordon. And they're comedians out in L.A. And they've got this show called The Indoor Kids because I guess Emily used to work for GTV.
Okay.
Back when that was a thing. And Kumail is just like a lifelong gamer. And they've got shows where they just kind of talk about current games. But they'll also go back and talk about old games, and they'll talk about video game movies, and they'll talk about all sorts of crazy stuff. They'll have like themed episodes. Like I think a couple weeks ago, or more than that now, because it was the 4th of July show, they had like the world's greatest / worst patriotic games, which was a fun show. So The Indoor Kids, definitely give that a listen. That is on my list, my short list of favorites. You got any others, Marcus?
I got one out of the box one. So as you know, or you know, Nate, that I'm a big Disney fan and went down to Disney World this past February. And while I was trying to plan that trip for my fiance, I came across the fact that there are multiple Disney podcasts out there, which I found fascinating. And the one that I actually listened to and was like, okay, this isn't...
Well, welcome to Seven Chairs, the show where we break down Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
No, even better. They break down stuff in the park. Not so much like the movies and all that stuff, but actually...
Really?
Stuff, yeah. So the one that I stumbled across that actually sounded and looked halfway great is called The Diz Unplugged, and they are based out of Orlando. And actually, I'm going to send you a link because they do a video show, and if we ever get in the same city, we should probably look into doing this because they film and live stream their show every Tuesday.
Okay.
And it's like professionally shot. It looks great, but you know, considering we're 3,000 miles away, that's for another day.
Unplugged.
So it's basically this guy Pete Warner started a travel company that sold Disney trips for people. And as a result, he started this podcast now 8 years ago. And basically the podcast, it's him and it was a bunch of his friends. And they sit around and they talk Disney. But it's not, when I say sit around and talk Disney, it's not like to the point where you listen to it and you're sitting there wondering like what the hell they're talking about. There's a purpose. They put a lot of work into this podcast. There's a whole rundown, a script. I mean, it's really well done. And it's really, I guess, as smart conversation as you have for about a theme park. At the end of the day, we're talking about Disney World. So, and as a result, they've branched off and they've done other podcasts. They have a podcast that's focused just on Disneyland with a whole separate team. They have a podcast that's focused just on Universal Studios out in Orlando. So he's sort of built like this little podcast Disney empire.
Do they talk about TNA on that podcast?
No, but funny enough, there's a wrestling connection. Stati Tuhati has been on the show multiple times now.
Why? Why?
he is a Disney fan. He's a huge Disney fan. And I don't know who stumbled across him first. If he stumbled across the podcast or they stumbled across him, but he's been on the show at least twice that I know of. So yeah, that's probably the only sports connection they have because they are clueless about sports for the most part. So yeah, Stati Tuhati is, I guess he lives in the Orlando area, and his kids have annual passes to the park, and yeah, so.
Right. Here to talk about Captain EO this week, Grandmaster Sexy. Actually, that's, I want to hear the Captain EO show, because I know they have to have one. That's what I want to hear about.
I guess I should explain the format. So they usually do two shows. One show is sort of like a news podcast, so the news of the week and whatever's buzzing. And they do like a separate show that is based on a specific topic. So they'll focus on like a restaurant review, or they'll focus on a specific park, or something along those lines. I don't know if they've done something just on Captain EO, because it's been up and running since the show started. So they usually focus on new stuff. But, you know, Captain EO went away, right? They took it out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, again. So.
They just took it out.
Yeah, they just took it out. Yeah.
Well, what'd they do that for?
Yeah. I think it has to do with Star Wars. I forgot the reason why, but there is some reason why they're taking it out again. So. I know it's out of Disneyland for sure. It's gone. Unfortunately.
Wow.
So unless Mike can come back from the dead and die again, I don't think we'll see it ever in the parks. So.
Well, they ought to have to make a new one starring Tito.
Oh, jeez.
Captain Tito. Oh, that sounds like a good podcast. I'll have to check it out. There's another podcast out there where they focus specifically on the movies, but it's called Masterpiece Cinema. Mm-hmm. Like I've heard a couple of the different Disney movie review type podcasts, but I think Masterpiece Cinema is probably the best of the bunch. Just off the top of my head, a couple other ones. If you're into Saved by the Bell, there's a really good Saved by the Bell podcast. Go Bayside. John Pollock turned me on to. It's pretty funny. Of course, Mr. Throwback Thursday, friend of the show. Bob's is in Ohio. I was about to say Bob's Boneyard, but Bob is in Ohio. Bobby Fresh, friend of the program, has a weekly show, but he does like three episodes a week. Like three short episodes a week talking about his life out there in Cincinnati. I would plug Torres versus Zombies, but they had their final show a couple weeks ago. But I guess the archives are still up. You can go back and check them out.
Oh, the Evening Jones, by the way, Bomani Jones.
Yeah, the Evening Jones. Yep, that's a good one. Another friend of the program. Let's see. I'm trying to think of any other big ones that we've missed. But like we've given you like 10 or 15 shows that you guys need to check out if you haven't already sought them out. But yeah, there's a lot of good podcasts out there, and I think a lot of people focus on the quote unquote big ones like Joe Rogan or Mark Maron or Kevin Smith's network, but there's a lot of smaller shows out there that are just as good.
I'll give you one last point if you're into gambling. And even though it's
why does that not surprise me?
Well, whatever. Even though it's from the quote unquote competition from ESPN. Behind the Bets with Chad Millman is a weekly podcast that comes out every Wednesday. And usually it looks at the whatever's in sports. So currently he focuses a lot on NFL and college football, but he has on the guy who sets the odds at the Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas, and he'll have him on it to sort of explain why the lines are set a certain way, and he'll give, you know, their thoughts on what to play, what to stay away from, and it's really like insightful gambling talk. So if you're into the whole sharp thing, and you know, if you're into the whole gambling lingo, and sort of or want to learn more about, you know, what the lingo means and why you should stay away from certain games, and you know why, for example, why the Lions were favored, not the Lions, why the Bears were a point and a half. I think they were underdogs at home this past Sunday against Green Bay. They usually have an answer for why certain lines are the way they appear. So. Behind the Bets, it's a ESPN podcast by Chad Millman, who is the editor-in-chief of ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. And okay. Degenerate gambler.
Okay, so when you go, 2 for 3 on your picks this week, we'll know who to blame?
Yeah. I went 3-2, by the way. But yeah, we'll get to that.
there it is. Happy National Podcast Day. Although by the time you're hearing this, it'll be old news. But go and check out some podcasts. And as always, share your favorite podcast with your friends. Matter of fact, go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsSport, and give us some podcasts we may have missed that Marcus and I can check out.
I guess we should dive into the Vegas talk. Segue into...
I think that's what everybody's been waiting for, Marcus. We want to hear about Vegas. We want to hear about UFC. And most importantly, people have been waiting to hear about Katy Perry.
All right. So, yeah. Vegas. We'll start with Katy Perry.
Of course. That's where we should always start.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned... I guess 2 weeks ago, I have a friend who is a backup singer for Katy Perry, and we decided to go out, my fiance and myself, to go see her in concert. And before the show, we met up with her, and she took us backstage. And it's one of the few things I haven't done in life is gone backstage at a concert. And it's not as glamorous as you might imagine. I did not see Katy Perry walking around in her bra and panties. Did not see Katy Perry at all. So what I was telling my friend Lauren was I was fascinated by, A, the fact that the night before they were in Phoenix to do a show. So the turnaround time from breaking down in Phoenix, driving overnight to Las Vegas on Friday morning, and to set up all the stuff at the MGM, which was just blew me away. And then the fact that they would have to take this stuff down right away because the UFC was coming in the building the next night. So just the manpower. And I'm sure it's like with wrestling, I'm sure with WWE, in terms of how they operate on the road, especially between Raw and SmackDown, that those guys who, you know, set up the building, I mean, they're really the guys behind the scenes. They should get more credit for what they do because, I mean, that's impressive. So I got to see backstage and costumes and wigs and got to eat a meal in catering or a catered meal.
What'd they have?
They had a pork, like a pork tenderloin. And okay. They had some green chicken curry. And they had some vegetables and potatoes and rice. And then they had like a... whole salad bar spread and a whole sandwich bar spread.
Sandwich bar. Now you speaking my language. Forget the salad bar. I got a sandwich bar.
Yeah, PB&J, turkey, all the meats. Yeah, they had everything. It was impressive.
How was the show? Who else was on there besides Katy Perry?
Yeah, so here's the beauty. I couldn't tell you who else was on the show because we arrived after the three opening acts because we knew what time Katy was going on, so we didn't bother.
Oh, so this wasn't just a CPT situation?
No, this was a planned strategy. It was, all right, let's get there at a certain time and not deal with the opening acts. Because I could look them up, but I'd never heard of the opening acts before. she got on stage a little after 9 and did 2 hours. It was good. I know the only Katy Perry songs that I know are the ones on the radio.
Yeah.
And she did all those, but even the stuff that I heard for the first time, it was entertaining. She's, it was like a concert for someone with ADD because it was so high paced and everything was, so different from track to track in terms of just the visual stimulation. So it was really, I mean, it'd be hard to really get bored at her show because everything was changing so quickly and it was just so different that you could find something that would keep your attention for 45 minutes and then, you know, the next thing comes on. So it was a fun show. It looked like a sold out crowd. I didn't see many black people in the crowd, but, you know, actually, come to think of it, I didn't see any outside of like us and my friend on stage.
So Snoop didn't even show up.
No.
Who was it? Juicy J.
Juicy J showed up on like on the video screen and did his part. But no, there was no Juicy J appearance at the show. But yeah, it was a fun show. I would, you know, if you're like a borderline Katy Perry fan, I would recommend it. You know, if you have no interest in pop music, then I wouldn't recommend it because I'm sure tickets weren't cheap. So,
and looking at the list of these opening acts on the tour, and it's a collection of I don't know who these people are. I don't know if they're has-beens or never were, but you got Ferraz, some Spanish dude, Capital Cities,
Casey. I know Capital Cities.
Tegan and Sarah, who
that's,
I've heard
that's
of.
That's what it was. You've heard of them?
I've heard of them, and I don't know why I've heard of them. The snarky answer would be because I've dated a lot of white girls.
Let's go with that answer.
They're a Canadian indie group.
Oh,
which
that's
makes
right
sense.
Up your alley.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Like, I.
We saw the tail end of them when we got in, so we saw, like, the last song they did.
Okay, yeah, like, the cross section between my exes and the Tegan and Sarah audience is probably pretty big.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Becky G.
Yeah.
Who I guess is an American singer, rapper, actress, and dancer from Inglewood.
Whoa, what? Really?
A YouTube sensation. Becky Gomez, Becky G.
Oh.
So she's only 17, born in 1997.
Huh.
I haven't heard any of her music, though, but apparently she's like the new hot thing out in California.
Yeah, we got Tegan and Sarah and Ferris for our show.
Ferris. So the Katy Perry concert went well. You had a good time. How was the contrast between Katy Perry and UFC?
Yeah, so this is where the story gets a little more interesting. So next night, UFC 178. And,
in the same building.
Same building. And get there in time for the undercard. And I'm sitting in the third row of the press row. I'm sitting actually behind Dave Meltzer, of all people.
was there any incidents there, just in the seating arrangement?
No, there wasn't. No. but during the undercard...
Obviously, what you're saying is Dave doesn't listen to our show.
Dave does not listen to our show. No. No. I've met Dave multiple times, and I'm pretty sure if I ran into Dave on the street now, he wouldn't recognize me. So
I don't know who you are, but I'll find out and put it in the Observer this week.
Yeah. So during the undercard, I'm sitting there on press row, and I start to feel a little under the weather, to the point where I feel like I'm going to pass out. And passing out at the UFC show, while it's great for medical attention because there's a bunch of people around, it's probably not ideal. So at this point, I'm on the plots. I'm working and watching the show, and I decided to go back to my room for a little bit and to try to take some Tylenol and to get some rest. So I take off, and I make it back barely to my room without passing out or anything like that. I take two Tylenols. I lay down for a bit. I go back downstairs to the show, feeling a lot better. And then during the Tim Kennedy, Yoel Romero fight, the same feeling I had earlier in the day, it comes back. And at that point, I just decided that it wasn't worth it. I wasn't feeling great. And there will be other UFC shows to attend, and I decided to go back to my hotel room, which was luckily in the same hotel. So I don't know what exactly it was. I think it might have been a migraine because I had a serious headache the rest of the night. But in terms of an exciting story, there really wasn't one because I didn't see the main three fights of the show in the building. I did watch it upstairs in the room. But yeah, it's one of those things where I knew right away that something wasn't right, and I didn't want to make a headline or be, you know, have that look where you're watching a show and you realize something's going on in the stands. I didn't want to be that guy and be like, oh, what's going on? And I'm, you know, passed out with Dave Meltzer looking on to me. So
You hear Joe Rogan, forget about Kat Zingano. That light-skinned dude just fell out.
Yeah. So I did at least get to see the Zingano fight in person. Did you see the card?
Did I see the card?
Yeah.
I didn't see the card. I saw that fight in particular.
Okay, you saw that one?
Yeah, I saw that one. I think I'm actually excited for a fight with her and Rousey.
Now, were you more impressed by her DDT or her ankle lock? Because I thought the DDT was great.
Yeah, DDT all the way.
Because the fans were chanting DDT. When she had Amanda sort of in that position for a few seconds before she actually pulled it off, and fans started chanting DDT, DDT, and then I was like, there's no chance she's actually going to do one, and then bam, she did it.
Right.
She did it well.
I don't know how that move was legal by the
I don't know. That was pretty, athletic commission. That was pretty violent. I was like, how is she going to get up from that?
Like, I might not be the most versed in MMA techniques, but I've watched people get DDTs for over 10 years, and that's an illegal move if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. So that was a fun fight. I didn't see the Kennedy Romero controversy, which happened.
Apparently that was like a real epic fight, so I'm going to have to go back and check that out, because I'm trying to think. Saturday night, I think I was working, and then I got home, and I finished up recording the show from last week.
Okay. And then also, Conor McGregor. That's what I wanted to see in person. I was trying to hold on to see him fight, but I couldn't make it. But he was the, leading up to the show, he was the star in terms of trying to sell this card. And, you know, towards the closer we got to fight night, there's a lot more of the, I can't wait for him to lose, he's overrated talk. And I don't get why we just don't embrace this dude and just say, hey, look, this sport needs someone like Conor McGregor who isn't afraid of being a star. He's sort of like Chael Sonnen with talent, I would like to say. he's Irish Chael. And he called a shot. He said he was going to knock out Dustin Poirier in the first round. He knocked him out in the first round. So I'm all in on this guy, and I'm curious to see what they do next with him, if he's going to go straight to a title match, or if he's going to have one more fight in between. So
it's funny, like you say, he's Irish Chael. Like he, you know, to bring it to wrestling, he is everything that Sheamus should be.
Oh, man. Could you imagine? He'd be... I wonder if it's just Sheamus' personality, if he doesn't have that it factor to pull that off.
Right.
But if he could, man, it'd be great. That's what he needs, something like that, to really get him going again.
So let's see. So you made it through Katy Perry and a little bit of Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
You came back the next night and you lasted all of, what, three fights?
No more. I saw Dominic Cruz. I saw the entire undercard.
Okay, just on the main card.
I got back in time to see Dominic Cruz. I missed before Cruz. So in between Doomsday Howard and Ebersol and then up to Cruz. So yeah, I only saw maybe three or four fights before tapping out. I tapped.
Okay. I mean, like, not going by what you said, Marcus, but by your actions, it would seem to me and most of the listeners out there that you were a bigger fan of Katy Perry over the weekend. That's what the evidence points to.
Based on what I saw inside the MGM Grand Arena, I would say Katy Perry won the weekend. Now, if I was in the arena for Conor McGregor and for Eddie Alvarez and Cerrone, maybe I would go UFC, but that main event, I'm glad I missed that in the building because I didn't need to see Demetrius Johnson do what he did. So,
yeah, so
I guess I'm a Katy Cat. That's what our followers are called.
Katy Cats?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It could be worse. It could be Nicki Minaj.
Does she have a name?
I'm trying to think. Her fans are, they used to be called Barbies, but that was before. Like, because remember when she first came out, she was just, and this is crazy to even say, remembering how Nikki was at that time, she was tastefully inappropriate back mm-hmm. then. Now she's just like, forget the veneer of even trying to be an artist. I'm just, look at my ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is now. Like, I like subtle Nicki Minaj. But her friends were called Barbies back in the day. I don't know what they'd be called now. Oh, I could go a certain way with that, but why start battles? We don't have to fight, Marcus.
Yeah.
That's the lesson for this week.
So, shout out to the Katie Cats.
The Katie Cats. So, that's going to do it for segment one for the A Block. Marcus is back. I know some of you guys liked the show last week. Some of you guys are like, when is Vandenberg getting back? Because this is ridiculous. So, he's back. And if you didn't like my tangents about Here Comes Honey Boo Boo last week, Marcus comes back, your hardcore sports guy, your journalist, and we give you Katy Perry.
Wait. I haven't listened to last week's show. You didn't actually discuss Honey Boo Boo, did you?
It was one of the stories in segment four.
About the divorce with Sugar Bear?
Sugar Bear, yeah. Man. I took that pretty hard. I thought they were going to last.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was saying divorce. They never got married.
Well, they did. They got married at the end of season three.
Did they actually get married, though? Or was it just like a...
The story on E! Online said that they were separated. Mm. So, and June said, you know, me and Sugar Bear are just trying to figure things out right now.
So yeah,
I talked about that last week during segment four. So yeah, but you got something to look forward to, Marcus.
All right.
And what you guys have to look forward to is Second Down, where we will talk about a crazy week in the NFL. And as we go to break, I got a little bit of advice for you, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
If you know somebody's about to fire you, don't pick up the phone.
All right.
More Kings of Sport right after the break. Talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gab fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest in sports and pop culture opinions, articles, and podcasts here on National Podcast Day. Nate Marcus back again. And if you're hearing that music, it must mean one thing. It is time for Second Down, our weekly look at the world of football. We're going to give some picks. We're going to give some opinions. We're going to talk some football. Yeah, that's what we do. So Marcus, as we alluded to before the break, if someone is going to fire you and you know that you're in danger of being fired, don't pick up a phone call from them. But that is what happened to former Raiders head coach Dennis Allen after I hope he had a good trip. overseas, because if not, you know, that's a long way to fly just to get fired.
Yeah, I don't think he added a trip based on how the Raiders played.
I mean, I'm not talking on the field. Like, I hope he got to go see some sights, look at Big Ben. Go make, you know, try to make the, what's the Buckingham Palace guards laugh, do all that stuff. Get some pictures, take some selfies.
If not, he has nothing but free time now to go back to London if he wants to.
He can move to London and nobody would know the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, the Raiders. Like, the Raiders are a mess. And they have been a mess for a while. You know, we were talking before we came back, you know, if you look at the list of their coaches over the team's history, from the 60s through the late 80s, the mid 80s, it's pretty consistent. Then, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, you got a lot of turnover. And outside of, you know, the John Gruden regime, you got a lot of bad, bad football, man.
It's been a rough 10 years, 10 plus years for the Raiders. And they're a mouthy fan base, too. They really like to beat their chest over what? I don't know. Yeah, they've been terrible. Terrible. And no signs of getting any better. That I think that's the frustrating part for Raider fans, because, I mean, there's nothing that they currently have on the field that screams out, well, they're just, you know, one player away or one position away. No, they need help across the board. And starting with head coach, and now I guess Tony Sperano is going to come in and at least be the interim coach for the rest of the year. But he's not exactly a great coach. He doesn't have a winning record as a head coach. He got fired from Miami. So I don't know what's in store for the Raiders. I don't know who would want to coach this team. I've already heard John Gruden's name tossed out, but I don't know why Gruden would want to leave his cushy job at ESPN to coach this team. So
not this.
No. I mean, I can't imagine that he misses coaching that much. And if he does, there are other teams that will be calling him in the offseason to hire him. So I don't see Gruden going there. So, yeah. Good luck to the next person who decides to coach this team full-time, because they are going to need a lot of help.
You know what surprises me about the Raiders, though? Like, they're bad, mm-hmm. and it's one thing to be bad, but they're bad and impatient, which to me is a bad combination. Like, they're organizationally, they have some flaws. Like, they've got to fix things up, but you're not going to see progress overnight. And it's like, go back and look at the coaches. They gave, what, Norv Turner a couple of years. They gave Bill Callahan a year. Art Shell got a year. Wow. Lane Kiffin.
We're talking about the late Al Davis, who was making these hirings and firings. And the man had no patience. I mean, come on. We saw what he did with Lane Kiffin, how he fired him.
Yeah.
Teleprompter and all. Or not the teleprompter, but the overhead projector. So I mean, that's worse than getting called and getting fired over the phone, is getting fired and being ridiculed and embarrassed about what you did wrong during your coaching tenure. I mean, at least this was a, you know, private conversation. But yeah, the team hasn't had an identity since Al Davis has passed away.
You got Tom Cable, two seasons, or three seasons.
Cable. He had
a
decent run for Raider coaches, I think.
Hugh Jackson had 1 year, and then Dennis Allen, it just ended up his term. And it's like, there's no consistency, and I don't think that you can get better as an organization without consistency. Like, it's winning does not equal consistency, or winning does not create consistency. It's the other way around. And I think just trying to look and find who's the guy that's going to get his wins, it's a short-term fix for a problem that is not going to be fixed overnight.
Well, I mean, he had two full seasons and he was winless this year.
But yeah, you know, if you're looking for consistency, you know, it comes from, starts at the top with the organization, goes to the head coach, but also these players, Marcus, I think they've got to take some accountability, because they've been stealing money for a while now.
You talking about the players on the Raiders, or you talking about the management?
So, actually, that's a good point, because management, I don't know what the hell management's doing. But these players on the Raiders, you know, I, you know, everybody in the NFL is obviously trying to win football games, but these dudes, this is not a professional organization in any aspect of the word, in my opinion.
No, I mean, the joke was, for the longest time, the best part of the Raiders was special teams. You had probably the league's best kicker
and
best punter.
And Lechler.
Yeah, Lechler and Janikowski were Pro Bowlers, and the rest of the team was trash. Now, Seabass is already 36. Wow, that's getting old. So he's getting up there in age.
And that's a hard 36, too. That's a Florida State party in 36.
Yeah. And Lechler has moved on. They have a black punter, which is rare.
Was it Reggie something?
Marquette King.
Okay, because I knew, and the only reason I said that because in Madden there was always a black punter, and his name was like
Reggie Roby.
No, it wasn't Reggie Roby. I'm talking about like recently. It's like one of the recent Madden games. It was like Reggie Evans or somebody like that, and I was like, I always signed him just because he was the black punter, and I had an affirmative action special teams policy. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, I didn't know Reggie Roby died. Oh man,
Reggie Roby's dead.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
First of all, I didn't know he's been dead since 2005.
Wow.
How did Mr. Roby die? Oh, heart attack. Wow. Well, this podcast took a sad turn.
Yeah. See, he had a long career, too. 16 years.
Huh. All right. That's what happens when you talk about black punters. You go to strange places.
Yeah, let's get this segment back on track, Marcus.
It's about white punters. Raiders spent all this money in the offseason trying to improve their defense, and they brought in guys, Lamar Woodley, Justin Tuck. It hasn't helped their defense at all. It's their defense.
Who's the genius that said, hey, guys, I know a great free agent pickup. Let's go out and get Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, that hasn't worked out either.
Let's get all these guys that were hot 5 years ago.
I guess their best offseason acquisition so far has been James Jones, who's been pretty good considering he's touching passes from a rookie quarterback. But, you know, Matt Schaub, that didn't work out. He didn't make the job over Derek Carr. Mojo's been hurt. That's what he does. McFadden's actually been healthy for the most part, which is a surprise. But yeah, they just don't have the talent. And it doesn't matter who's coaching this team. If there's no talent, when your best defensive player is 37 and Charles Woodson, that's a problem. So
Woodson, he got burned a couple times on Sunday.
Yeah, he's getting up there. I mean, I'm not sure how many teams Charles Woodson would be starting for outside of the Raiders. So, well, maybe the Jets. The Jets secondary is just as bad. So, but yeah, they just don't have the talent to compete. And you combine that with some poor coaching, and it's just a bad combination.
Yeah, if I'm Dennis Allen, though, I would not have picked up the phone, man. They would have had to come. They would have had to come find me. I would have showed up on Monday like nothing happened.
Yeah, I've never been fired over the phone. I've never been technically fired. I've been laid off, quote unquote. But the second time from BET, I got an email from my boss. He was in New York, that said, "Hey, wanted to schedule a meeting with you on Monday at 11 o'clock. Can you come by the office?" And that Friday, when my direct deposit hit my account, I noticed two different deposits from BET. And at first I thought they just overpaid me, but that was actually my severance or whatever package they gave me. And I sort of knew what was going to happen. So that Monday I went in and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're going to lay you off," and blah, 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 blah.
The security guard had to escort you out.
Yeah, so what happened, after I went in there, I went to the other side of the building and started talking to people. And I was in someone's office, and the HR lady came by and said, "Hey, we need you to leave the building." I'm like, really? You think I'm some kind of threat? They're like, oh, that's just protocol. I was like, that's bullshit. So yeah, I left. But yeah, I was just like, really, you really think I'm going to cause a scene? Like, you clearly see me talking to these people, like, not caring that the fact that I got laid off. So, but yeah, I was escorted out by security, and they took my badge away. So, BET.
Oh, that's terrible. But yeah, I don't even know what's worse, though, because I've been on both sides of the coin. Like, the two times I've been let go, once was over the phone, which I didn't appreciate. But then the other time, it was actually after I'd worked, like, a full shift.
Oh.
So it's like, I don't know what's worse, because part of me is like, I'd like to be told face-to-face like a man, but there's also part of me that's like, if I ain't got to come in today, just let me know when I go back to sleep.
I'll tell you what's worse. The first time I got laid off from BET was after Thanksgiving, and after I just flew back from Los Angeles, and I did back to New York. And this one I didn't know about ahead of time. I got to the office that morning, and 10 o'clock was let go. And I was like, really? I just flew back here. I could have stayed in L.A. and not come back. So, yeah, I mean.
And Deborah Lee was like, happy holidays, nigga.
This time, it was at least one other person got laid off this time, but the last time it was just me, and I was like, all right, just say you don't want me around, that's fine.
Oh, so once it was just you?
The last time it was just me, the first time it was me and one other person who got laid off.
So you had solidarity.
Yeah, I did. but, I mean, the big difference between getting fired and getting laid off is you at least did some type of severance from getting laid off, so that was the only benefit for not acting a fool or doing something to get myself fired. So
you got that golden BET parishute.
Yeah. That place, man.
Speaking of losing your job, Marcus, what's up with EJ Manuel? Like, is the experiment over? We talk about giving things time to develop with Oakland. Have things gone so bad so quickly for EJ in Buffalo?
You know what? If I'm EJ Manuel, I am probably upset at Tom Brady, because I feel like if I'm Buffalo and I'm looking at New England currently, I think what they're thinking and what I think the Jets will eventually do with pulling Geno Smith and putting Michael Vick in is the AFC East is now wide open, and we have a shot to win the division now, and we don't have time to help build EJ Manuel at the moment. We can get back to that. We need to put in the guy who gives us the best chance of winning at the moment, and that's Kyle Orton. And I think that's part of the reason why they made the switch to quarterback, because they're sitting at 2-2 along with New England and Miami. And you know, based on the way the Pats played on Monday night, I think you know Buffalo has a legit shot of somehow winning this division with Kyle Orton as a quarterback.
Yeah, the AFC East is terrible. New England looked terrible against Kansas City. We'll talk about that in a second. And I think it is a crazy situation, because if Buffalo knew they had no chance, I think you'd have an opportunity to give EJ time to learn and time to develop. But being as, you know, it's win now and it's a winnable division, you got to go with what gives you the best opportunity. And you've got weapons. You got CJ Spiller. You got Sammy Watkins. You got Fred Jackson. You got guys that can do things once they get the ball. They just need a quarterback that can deliver it to them. And Kyle Orton, for all his limitations, is a guy that can manage a game. And what world are we living in, Marcus, where in a couple weeks, the best quarterbacks in the AFC East might be Michael Vick and Kyle Orton and not Tom Brady?
Yeah. I mean, EJ should have known something was up when Buffalo signed him, because he's the highest paid backup quarterback in the league at the moment.
And this is what he does. Like, this is Kyle Orton's move. Like, he does this everywhere he goes. He just kind of chills, hangs out in the background. Like, Kyle Orton, like, if you are a happily married man, you might want to stay away from Kyle Orton, because if you slip up, you have a couple mistakes, you don't do all your husbandly duties, Kyle Orton gonna have your wife in about 4 weeks. That's what he does.
I mean, he's not a terrible quarterback.
He's not a terrible. I think he is the guy that can, and this is where it becomes tricky though, because I think he's a guy that can win you, you know, 7 or 8 games a year. But is he a guy that can get you deep into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
like, that, what, like if Orton,
well,
can get
I
the
mean,
Bills,
EJ, I mean, EJ can't get you to the playoffs. Period. So
yeah, EJ can't. Point taken. But if Orton can get you to the playoffs, can he do anything once he's there?
Well, I think Buffalo would settle for the playoffs at this point. I think they'll just be happy making the playoffs. I don't think they're too concerned about how far they get. As long as they get there, that's an improvement over the last few years for them. So I don't think they're too concerned about what Oregon can do in the playoffs. They'll just, you know, be happy to get there.
And before we talk about the Pages, let's talk about your boy Marcus, because this is granted they don't have the most talent in the world, but if anybody should be, you know, running away with this division, this lackluster division, it should be your boy, two-time AFC championship game coaching coach, Rex Ryan.
I don't put this on Rex at all.
You put this all on Geno?
Yeah. Listen, Jets run defense, amazing. Jets can run the ball. But when it comes to passing the ball, it's been not good. And the problem the Jets have is they've had a tough schedule already. I mean, they've had to play Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit. They all lost. They have to go at San Diego this week. And then they come home to Denver, and then at New England, and then Buffalo, which will be interesting. So luckily the Patriots are the team that we all thought they would be this year, so that game is probably at least winnable now. But going on the road to San Diego and then coming back home to face Denver, I mean, they could easily be 1-5. And then I think Geno's got one more week to prove himself. If he doesn't get it done against San Diego, and he doesn't have to beat San Diego, but he has to at least look like a quarterback, a competent quarterback. He just hasn't looked good. But I think we're getting closer and closer to the Michael Vick era, which will make you very happy, I know.
It'll be the one time when we both are cheering for the same team, but for different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm ready for it, because there's nothing that Geno has shown me outside of the game against the Raiders, but that's the Raiders. That has really inspired me. He looked all right against Green Bay. But since then, he's just made the same mistakes that haunted him his rookie season. And, you know, they have a decent running game, and there's only so many times you can run the ball without teams, you know, stacking the box against you. If there's no legitimate pass threat, then, you know, you can't run the ball eventually.
Yeah, this is like one of those situations where the enemy of my enemy is now my friend, because we're both going to be rooting for Michael Vick in 1 or 2 weeks from now.
And you mentioned the talent. I mean, the receivers are still an issue. When you have Greg Salas and David Nelson on the same team, that's a sign that you're not very good. You should have, like, one of those guys. You shouldn't have both of those guys out there.
I'd argue that the offense is woeful, like, in terms of just a pure talent level. And if you've got an offense that is woeful, the best chance to win is probably with the quarterback with the most experience.
Yeah, because, I mean, the defense can only do,
like,
so much.
It'd be different if Geno was struggling and you had the weapons that the Bills have.
Yeah, we don't have those weapons. We've got, yeah, it's, I guess the running back position, they have more depth for sure. They got three guys who you could throw out their running back that and feel confident in them. But receiver, it's just, I mean, Eric Decker's great and all, but he's not a true number one receiver. He's more of a number two guy. But on this team, he's the number one, hands down. And I don't think he should be. But it's not Jimmy Turley, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I think we'll see Michael Vick against Denver, which would be interesting. Him against Peyton.
Yeah, and speaking of Peyton, you got to give credit to Peyton for that Eric Decker signing, because Peyton Manning has been getting dudes overpaid for years.
Yeah, just ask Manuel Sanders, who looks great now.
Like, who was it? Dallas Clark got broke off. Who's the slot receiver that Peyton had? Stokely? He got Stokely,
man,
broke
Brandon
off.
Stokely. Jacob Tammy.
Like, Peyton will get dudes paid.
Who else? I think they're missing someone. Hell, he made Joseph Addai look great as running back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a name we haven't talked about in years.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning does a lot of good things. There's a lot of good things. And the quarterback that he is most often compared to, who usually does great things, he hadn't really looked so hot this season, Marcus. Do you think that this is a byproduct of years of just not having great weapons around him, catching up to him, or is he getting old, or is it a combination of all of the above? Is the Pats defense not as good? What's going on with your boy, Tom Brady?
Brady said, you know, when I retire, or when I suck, I'll retire. Well, he sucked. And yeah, we mentioned, you know, talent with the Jets.
Correction. I mean, when I suck and people don't want to pay me anymore.
Yeah.
Then I'll retire.
The Pats receivers are a little better than the Jets receivers, but I wouldn't say they're a whole lot better. I mean, Edelman is a good slot guy, but he's pretty much their number one receiver, and he shouldn't be. Amendola has been done nothing this year. They picked up Brandon LaFell from Carolina. There was a reason why Carolina let Brandon LaFell go. And then you got Aaron Dobbs, and you have all these guys who are nobodies that Brady is now forced to throw to. And you got Gronkowski at tight end, which is great, but he's been sort of out of the mix, out of the picture this season because Brady's been so bad. So, yeah, I think we've finally seen the point where the Patriots are known for sort of not keeping guys long term, and at some point this was going to catch up to them. And I think once they traded Mankins away to Tampa Bay, and I know Brady was pissed about that, not only did that hurt their offensive line, but it probably hurt their chemistry some in the locker room. And I don't know if it's all on Brady, if it's part the offensive line or what, but the Patriots look very beatable at this point.
Yeah, but even still, the crazy thing is, all things being equal, all teams being bad as the Patriots looked last night against the Chiefs, I'd still put money on them probably ending up winning this division when it's all said and done. Like, all things being equal, all teams being bad, I'm still going to go with Belichick in that situation over anybody else in that division.
I'm going to go Buffalo at the moment. Assuming Kyle Orton isn't terrible, and if he's, like, halfway decent, I think, you know, Buffalo, playing at Buffalo late in the winter is not ideal for teams. They have a very solid defense. They have a very solid run game. I just think quarterback's the one position they need to really upgrade on, and I think, you know, if Orton could do that, I'm going with Buffalo this year.
You're sold on Orton and the Bills.
Now, I can take this back after watching Buffalo's. Let me watch Buffalo for 1 week, and then I'll get back to you. But at the moment, I'm sold on them. But I can change it after 1 week because we haven't seen Orton play in a while. So, assuming he's halfway decent, I'm going to go Buffalo.
Okay, yeah, I'll go. As much as I hate them, I'll still go Patriots because until proven otherwise, I'd still go with Brady and Belichick over anybody else in that division, even if Brady's looked like garbage so far. I'm so glad he's not on my fantasy team anymore, and I almost feel bad to the person I traded him to.
No, you don't.
No, I don't, because I took Tom Brady and turned him into Eddie Lacy and Steve Smith. Oh. I look like a genius. Maybe I should be running the Raiders. Well, we're going to end off this week's edition of Second Down with our weekly football picks challenge, Marcus and myself. What were we last week, Marcus? And what is our record overall thus far with the challenge?
All right. So last week we both went 3-2, and overall I am 9-11 on the year, and you are 11-9.
All right. So I'm a couple games over 500. Neither one of us lighting the world on fire, despite Marcus being a degenerate gambler and listening to a podcast made by and for degenerate gamblers.
For the record, I didn't gamble a dime this last trip.
Yeah, you're too busy watching Katy Perry. I mean, you at the sandwich bar.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. Like if I ever get like a studio somewhere down the line, like that'll be a part of the studio, like a little kitchenette with a sandwich bar. that's all I want. I don't need to be on ESPN. Just give me a decent job and a sandwich bar.
Some lunch meat.
Yeah.
Some cold
turkey,
cuts.
Some Swiss. Some cold cuts today, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, let's get to the games this week. Every week, we pick five games, four on Sunday and the Monday night game. And this week, Marcus, since we spent so much time talking about the Jets and the Chargers, let's make that our first pick of the week.
All right. Chargers minus 7.
Chargers minus 7. And Geno will be starting this week for at least one more week.
Yep.
I'll let you go first.
Give me the Chargers.
I agree. San Diego as well.
All right.
Let's go to... Oh, this should be an interesting one. Let's go with the Chicago Bears taking on Ace Boogie, Cam Newton, and the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers minus 2.5.
I will take... I'll take the Panthers.
Bears.
All right, let's go. Now, this is a game, Marcus. You got two classic AFC teams. You got champions going up against an undefeated team. You got two of the greatest head coaches of our generation, Bill Belichick and Marvin Lewis. Bengals and the Patriots, who you got?
Wow, here's a twist. The Patriots are not favored at home.
Wow.
Bengals by 1.5 on the road.
Bengals by 1.5 on the road. I mean, it is the regular season, so, you know, you can still believe in Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep the theme going though and go with the home team. Give me the Pats.
Give me the Bengals.
All right. Next game. Let's show some love to the Bills and your boy Kyle Orton as they go into Detroit and take on a new Zaxby spokesperson, Calvin Johnson. Shout out to Zaxby's. Hopefully one day y'all will pay me for these little mentions. What's the line on that particular game?
Wow, Detroit minus 7. It's a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess people believe in Kyle Orton.
They don't believe in Kyle Orton. It's a lot of points.
You believe in Kyle Orton.
I believe in Kyle Orton.
You... Do you believe in him enough to go with him?
Oh, yeah. Give me the Bills, man.
That's the points, though. That's not Kyle Orton.
Yeah, that's... Hey, whatever. give me a touchdown on the road, sure.
Don't try to cloak this as support for Kyle Orton with his neck beard. Yeah. That is a lot. I'll take Buffalo, too. I don't feel good about it, though.
All right, Bills.
I don't feel good about it. Finally, the Monday night game. This could get ugly. The Seattle Seahawks head to D.C. to take on the Washington Redskins.
By the way, before we discuss this line, all you Kirk Cousins fans.
What happened?
He's now 0-5 as a starting quarterback in Washington.
And looked terrible.
Looked awful, so...
I'm not saying RG3 is the greatest, but I don't know if RG3 has ever had a game that bad.
What, 4 interceptions in the second half? I don't think he's managed to do that one yet. But yeah, he's played in 11 games. Now he's at 15 interceptions in 11 games, plus 5 fumbles. He's not good, people. He's not good. Let's stop the whole he's better than RG3. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Stop it.
He is a serviceable backup.
Yes, he's a backup. That's all he is. So, well, hurry back, RG3.
Or don't.
Your job is safe. Trust me.
Don't hurry back, because if I'm RG3, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take me a couple extra weeks, get healthier, let people see how bad this dude really is. Like, this isn't Nick Foles that took your job.
No, they host Seattle, and they go at Arizona the following week. So it could get real ugly for Kirk Cousins with those two defenses.
Yeah, so what's the line on that?
Seahawks minus 7.5.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought they could go higher on that. I think this is gonna be like as bad as what was the game?
Giants
as bad as, yeah, as bad as the Giants game. I think it could get to that level. Like, you had Eli Manning looking like a world beater, and if Eli can do that, what do you think Russell Wilson and those weapons can do? Marshawn Lynch and Percy Harvin.
So who you got?
I mean, there's no way this game is inside of 20 points.
Wow.
Like, I'm that down on Kirk Cousins. Like, the Redskins have weapons too. It's crazy. Like, who's backing up Cousins? Is it Colt McCoy?
Setsy Retsy.
Really, Rexy is still on the Jet? Redskins?
Did they?
I thought he left when Shanahan went out of town.
Or did he? No, hold on. Let me check now.
I think it might be Colt McCoy.
Like, you're right. It is Colt McCoy.
Is it time already to go to Colt McCoy?
I forgot. Grossman was Cleveland. Cleveland picked him up for like a couple weeks during training camp.
Yeah, because as soon as the Shanahans were out of Washington, that was like Rex's sponsor was gone.
Yeah.
So, all that being said, who are you going with? Because I'll go the opposite just so we can have
Seahawks.
Then I'll take the Redskins just so we won't be tied up.
All right.
So, again, the games we picked this week were the Jets at the Chargers, the Bengals at the Patriots, the Bears at the Panthers, the Bills at the Lions, and what should be a game that'll have you tuning to Rob way before halftime. The Seahawks and the Redskins. Like, if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm like, yes, this is what we want.
Yeah. Bad football games on Monday night.
Like, Vince calling up Roger Goodell. Roger, how about a Jaguars game on Monday?
Yeah, well, NetSuite's not much better. The following week, 49ers Rams. Yeah.
How about that Eagles game, man? Like, if you're an Eagles fan, you got to be sick to your stomach.
The 49ers game?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know why, but like I think I get outside of like big blowouts, like when my Falcons whooped up on Tampa Bay. I think I get more enjoyment now watching football to see people fail. Like, I don't know what that says about me, Marcus. But like I derived a lot of enjoyment out of seeing Chip Kelly and Nick Foles lose when they had such a big lead.
It's not very nice.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not nice at all. Yeah, looking at these Monday night games, we got the week 7 Thursday night, your Jets and the Patriots.
Yeah.
That could be for the AFC lead, AFC East lead.
Yeah, the one interesting one is Redskins Cowboys, October 27th. That's when I'll be in Texas. That's actually the night after Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
And Raw is in, I believe, San Antonio or Houston that night. I can't remember. But they're in Texas as well. So that'd be interesting.
Oh, that Raw is going to get crushed. Like, I don't care how bad the Redskins are. That's a game that's going to draw.
That also means you'll probably get a lot of those NFL guys at the pay-per-view because there's no game Sunday, so.
Yeah, all your Texas football heroes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
King, it's Adam Rose and DeMarco Ware.
By the way, here's our wrestling talk for the week. Did you see Jesse Jackson on Raw?
Yeah, man.
What's your boy doing? The Rainbow Coalition didn't start for this. What's going on with Jesse?
Only that, let's look at that whole segment. That whole segment was terrible because they started off coming back from commercial with Titus O'Neil talking about losing his grandma to breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
Then once we get to the segment, Titus O'Neil is the heel. Like, didn't this dude just lose his grandmama to breast cancer? And now I'm supposed to boo him? Then he goes to ringside and daps up the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who gave him a humanitarian award. So is Jesse Jackson now a heel? I guess to some people he probably is.
Yeah,
he's
a heel.
Then Titus O'Neil and Heath Slater, they win the match, and the Bunny Rabbit comes out. And, yeah, this is why some people who don't watch wrestling because of stuff like this. The Bunny Rabbit comes out and beats up everybody and then takes a selfie with Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson is just shaking hands with this bunny that just beat up his friend and award winner, apparently. Allegedly.
Well, Mr. Opportunist would do anything for money. He's probably bought off.
I wish they would, because Reverend Al Sharpton was a Raw guest host 1 week. I wish they would have let Jesse host it in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what this sport is coming to. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. We all gonna watch Raw on Monday night.
Oh, jeez.
Like they could have got so much mileage out of that. And obviously Jesse was there. You know what I'm saying? Jesse do anything for some publicity.
Yeah, he's the king of that. Him and Sharpton are both the king of that. Where are the cameras? Oh, they're on? Okay. I'm here.
John Cena, you came back from that loss pretty fast, but we all know Brock Lesnar will kick your ass. That's hashtag Jesse Jackson on Raw. We need Jesse to guest host of Raw. I mean, it'd probably be terrible.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he would play along that much. Like
you
make
think
fun
you
of
stay
him
the entire show? I didn't see any kids around for him. I just saw him by himself, so.
No, I don't think he stayed around because, yeah, he was just there for that one terrible segment. And you wonder why we don't talk about wrestling every week on the show like we used to.
Yeah, it's I'm going to a PWG show in a few weeks.
Okay.
And then I'm going to see Hell in a Cell. So that's my wrestling for the month. Will be an independent show, which will be great, and a pay-per-view that doesn't have any matches announced.
Maybe you'll run into TJ McClune out there.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Austin for at least the beginning and end of my trip. So after we'll have to have TJ back on the show. We'll drop the ban on TJ.
Yeah, you know, we had the ban up for women, and we've had
multiple women on the show now.
Yeah. So yeah, that ban is over, and then TJ was, you know, he had a partial ban because of affiliations with other certain people.
I'm a bit nasty guy. We had to ban him for that. So
now the Cold War is over, and we'll have TJ back on. So I think that's it for second down.
Second down, ringside wrap.
Sitting down, ringside rap. Yeah, this is
TJ talk. Yeah,
this is probably our longest second down yet. But I mean, we haven't talked in literally 2 weeks, so got a lot of stuff to get out. Like I'm watching Space Jam on VH1 in the background, back and forth between this and the baseball game.
Yeah, this baseball game's getting out of hand.
Like. That's the other thing, man. Like, people is putting so much on this game. Like, if the A's lose, Billy Beane's legacy is destroyed.
Yeah, until they lose in the Nets, it's Angels, so.
Well, yeah. So that's going to do it. We'll come back, wrap up the show in segment four. And I was trying to think of a good segue, but I can't even really think of one right now.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, Marcus and Nate holding things down for yet another week, and it is time to close up shop. But before we do that, we got to give you what you want, got to give you what you need, and what you want and need each and every week is segment four. It's our weekly look at all the ratchetness and craziness in the world of sports and pop culture. We throw it in the pot, mix it up, and give you that ratchet gumbo served hot on the platter, and that's what we're going to do tonight. So this first story that we're going to talk about, Marcus, it's about friendship. And I'm sure you've got a lot of friends. And as we know, friends can come in different categories. You got your true blue friends. You got your work friends. You got your drinking buddies. You know, you got friends that only come around when they need something. But you know that.
Yeah.
You know, you got friends that are along for the ride, fair weather friends, and there's all different kinds of friends, Marcus. But I don't think, or maybe you have, maybe we'll get into this, but I don't think you've had a friend quite like the ex-friend of one Jermaine Dupri. Here's a story reported by TMZ. Jermaine Dupri lavished his former friend with a free place to live, a free car, free studio time, and several other gifts, and his friend repaid him by trashing his Hummer and then having the audacity to sue Jermaine Dupri. Dupri says Tadrick Mingo is a leech who did nothing but take, take, take. He said Mingo turned around, sued him because he said he worked as Dupri's assistant and never got paid, even though Jermaine gave him all that free stuff. So now Dupri has fired back with his own lawsuit claiming Mingo was never his assistant, and Jermaine Dupri wants money for the financial beating he took when he sold his Hummer for a loss. As for why Dupri showered Mingo with gifts over a period of years, TMZ asked in a leading way, but probably the right question to ask. We'll never know because he hasn't said. This kind of ties into something we talked about. We talked about it a couple times on the show, you know, most notably with the Kerry Rose Hollywood Simpson incident, but man, you gotta watch who you put on the payroll.
Yeah, you do. These quote unquote personal assistants.
So these assistants ain't loyal.
I don't get the whole buying stuff for another grown man thing. I just don't.
Yes,
I can't comprehend. But
I'm saying, though, even if you're rich, if you want, like, say I'm Jermaine Dupri and you're Tadrick Mingo and you're working for me, I'm not just going to be like, hey, Tadrick, I bought you this car. Or, hey, Tadrick, I got free studio time. I'm going to let you work and do stuff for me, for the company, and pay you a good wage. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of, but I ain't just going to give you, yeah, like you said, I'm not going to give another grown man a free place to live, free food, free house. You know, all this other stuff. Like that's not a assistant and boss employee employer relationship right there. That's something that it's not a work relationship, and it's not quite a friendship. It's something in the middle, and that's where it gets messy.
Yeah. Well, let's just say it was a friend on friend relationship. I don't think Jermaine. Well, I'm sure he has money, but when I think money, I don't think Jermaine Dupri. So it's hard to say. You know, if I had money, maybe I'd be more open to buying my friend's stuff.
Obviously, you weren't listening all these years, Marcus, because Jermaine Dupri has told us money ain't a thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure.
And I'm sure that was all his cars and planes in the video.
Yeah. I'm sure financial advisors weren't on the top of his list when he was churning out these hits.
I mean, the Brat's done reasonably well in the stock market. Like, you ain't heard Jermaine Dupri, as much crap as Puffy gets for, like, kind of screwing over his artist, So Def doesn't have, like, the most stellar example of continued success for these people either.
Mm-mm.
Are you talking about the Brat? Crisscross is a little different, obviously. Yeah.
Lady of Rage? Was she so bad?
No, she was with Snoop.
Oh, that's right.
Because she rocked Rough and Stuff with her Afro Puffs. He did have Jagged Edge, though. And Jagged Edge recently got kicked out of Jermaine Dupri's birthday party because they were wearing baseball caps.
See, they can't even afford real hats. They have to settle for a new era when they, you know,
right. Come on. I don't even know if it was a new era. It's probably like the old starter cap, like DJ Jazzy Jeff told me how to put it on. At first, you fold the hat. Then you flip the hat. Make sure it's a starter hat. But yeah, like So Def, like they, I think they get a pass because A, Jermaine was not nearly as annoying as Diddy.
Yeah.
Like that's what gets Diddy a lot of times. It's like he's made some great songs and he's had some great artists on the roster, but like at the end of the day, you don't want to hang with Diddy. Like it'd be cool, man. It'd be cool to hang with Diddy, but you don't want to, like you don't want Diddy as your friend.
Looking at it now, So Def was whack, dog. Listen to this. Escape? All right, whatever. Fine.
Escape with a kick off your shoes and relax your feet.
Listen, Tiny.
Party on down to the escape beat.
Tiny's had her own issues to deal with. did you mention Jagged Edge?
Yeah, I mentioned Jagged Edge because they got kicked out of the party.
Bow Wow.
Little Bow Wow. Wow.
Young Bloods.
Oh, they had one hot song
with a Z at the end.
Were they Don't Start No Stuff, Won't Be No Stuff? Give a damn, go on, throw it up. Start No Stuff, Won't Be No Stuff.
Was that
because Little John was on the track?
That's right.
That was the one hot song they had.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Bone Crusher.
Oh, Bone Crusher.
Jaquan.
Wow. I have no idea who that is.
You remember the album Hood Hop from 2004?
I must have missed that catalog. That was when I was listening to Dave Matthews Band.
You remember Tipsy? You remember Tipsy.
Oh, everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Yeah.
That was okay. Yeah, I knew the song. I didn't know the guy. Like you could have put 10 dudes in front of me in a line and say, one of these guys had a hit single, and dude could be wearing a shirt saying, I am Jaquan holding a bottle of alcohol. I wouldn't have guessed it was him.
Dem Franchise Boys, who I once interviewed.
Was that the Heisman guy do the Heisman, or was that another group?
Dem Franchise Boys was White T.
Okay, yeah. No, the Heisman Boys was them Heisman Boys, which is stupid.
See,
them Heisman boys.
Man, the South, I tell you. For every outcast, you got 100 them franchise boys.
I was gonna say, like, So Def sounds like, and it's gonna hurt me to make this comparison, but if Outkast and the Dungeon Family and the WWE, So Def was TNA.
Yeah.
It's like we've got comparisons, but they're just not nearly as good as the other guys.
Yeah.
Like, if you like Outkast, you'll love them Franchise Boys. If you like Bubba Sparks, you'll love Jaquan.
And I skipped over Harlem World. So Harlem World was a combination of D-level rappers, including Loon.
Wow.
Mino. The infamous Blinky Blink that Mace would always mention.
Blinky Blink. The only time I remember hearing Blinky Blink get a verse on a Mace track was remember when he did the record with Maya for the Rugrats movie?
Yeah.
It was Mace, Maya, and Blinky Blink. Blinky Blink finally got a credit.
Take me there.
Yes.
That's Mace's brother. Mace's sister was also in the
Mace's
group.
Brother was Blink. That was his brother in real life? Okay.
Yeah.
And his sister was in Harlem World too?
Baby Stass? Yeah. Wow. She was also in Yeah. So and 30W, by the way. That was probably yeah.
30W. This lineup is very much like they're pretty much on par with Bad Boy. Like if Bad Boy didn't have Biggie, Bad Boy would be So-So Def. Cause you can make comparison for every single group from So-So Def and Bad Boy.
Yeah.
Like they're almost, it's just one is Southern and one is from New York. Like Biggie is the one thing that kept Puffy relevant. It's So-So Def. I don't know why we thought they were so good back in the day. That's because they just kept telling us in the song. Y'all know what it is. So-So Def. Like, I guess I know what it is. But yeah, outside of Criss Cross and the Brat, like those were like the first So-So Def. That was like wave one of So-So Def. Outside of those guys, not a lot of depth.
Yeah, the current Bad Boy lineup, not too hot. But I didn't know Janelle Monae was on Bad Boy. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I do know, like, over the past 5 or 10 years, Diddy's done a lot of that. He's just been scooping up a lot of free agents because at one point, New Edition was on Bad Boy.
Yep.
And that was like because it was like, you know, now they got the new Bad Boy. But I think when New Edition was on there, it was like Bad Boy Phase 2. The New Edition without Bobby Brown.
Of course.
Like if you're going to have New Edition on Bad Boy, you got to have Bobby Brown.
Then they had Bad Boy South with 8-Ball and MGJ. Or MJG, I'm sorry. That didn't last long.
No. It's a lot of bad rap during that time.
Yeah, but Janelle Monae is probably the biggest name they currently. Well,
I know he's got what's the boy, Machine Gun Kelly?
Yeah, he didn't have him. French Montana.
John Cena. Oh, the former Mr. Kardashian.
No, French Montana. He dated her too.
He was wasn't he dating Khloe?
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Kim. Just Kim dates everyone.
Oh, yeah. He was the rebound after Lamar.
That's right.
Oh, Kardashians love famous black dudes. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I make that statement, Marcus.
No, not at all.
I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here.
No.
Breaking any new ground. Like that, I think that's the funnier game. Like, Kim, Courtney, and Khloe, they're all like Kardashians, but the other girls are Bruce Jenner's kids, right? Like Kendall and all them other ones,
yeah.
So those are Bruce's kids, so they don't have that the full Armenianness of Kim and Khloe and Courtney. So, like, will they go white or will they go black? That's interesting, 20 years from now, will it be Kendall Jenner and Soulja Boy? Will that be the hot couple?
It's currently her and Bieber, so.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense in a weird way. Justin Bieber. Free little Zay.
Little Zay, little Zah.
That brings it all back around, man. You gotta watch who your friends are. Because if you don't, you can end up like Jermaine Dupri and his ex-friend, who I forgot his name, and we just said it 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Tadrick Mingo.
Yeah, Mr. Mingo.
Tatterick Mingo, yeah. And it's true. Business and friendship, like it can mix, but you have to be, you have to know there's a line.
Yeah, that's not a line that I try to get involved or get near or anywhere close by. I want no business of my friends and business relationships and working with them, nothing like that.
Right. Like it, and it's different, I guess, if you're both on the same level. Like, say if you and I went into a venture and we opened a business together, mm-hmm. that's different than if I'm the boss and I've got all this money and I bring you on to work for me.
Yeah.
Because then there's no way that, because if you're friends with somebody, you might not be equals in life, but you're equals as friends. But then when you bring in that business aspect, you know what I'm saying? It's hard for you to be my friend if every 5 minutes I'm like, hey, Marcus, get me some coffee.
Yeah.
That's why I'd be like, get your own damn coffee. Or it'll be a help situation. I made you a pie.
You see that movie? No, I didn't see the Hulk.
Okay. Nah. Spoiler alert: the pie is not chocolate.
Oh.
I think that's a good place to end it, Marcus.
Oof, it's a little tart.
Oh, so this is the Kings of Sport for this week. Again, happy National Podcasting Day, even though it's in the past. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back each and every week with a new show to let you guys know what's going on and give our opinions in the world of sports, Marcus. Because, you know, there's a lot of sports shows out there, but I truly feel that we do twice as much in terms of giving you great entertainment than shows with double the budget. But that's none of my business. As I sip an iced tea.
All right, Kermit.
And if you got time, like go on YouTube and look up It's None of My Business with Kermit the Frog, who I don't know how they got to make this video without being sued by the Jim Henson people. Because they're using, like, the likeness and the voice of Kermit to say the most ratchet things. Like, aren't the Muppets part of Disney now?
Yes, they are.
They're under the Disney's got Marvel, they got the Muppets, they got Star Wars.
They're smart. They just bought assets and making money off of them.
So, yeah. All they got to do now is find a way for George Lucas to make a Captain EO movie, and we can get that ride back.
Man, if you haven't seen Captain EO, it's on YouTube. You don't need to go to the park to see it. Just look up YouTube, Captain EO.
You can't replicate the whole experience,
but, I mean, considering the experience is currently not in use.
So the experience is currently in boxes?
Yeah, just imagine stuff flying in your face while you're watching it, and your seat moving up and down. Just factor that in.
Oh, that's so wrong. Stuff flying at your face, seat moving up and down. It's Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
It is a great picture though. Like, didn't somebody famous direct it? Like,
yes, it was.
It wasn't John Landis, was it?
It might have been. Wasn't it Landis and Spielberg? Lucas. And Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like, these were like heavy hitters.
Yeah, I knew it was a big-time director, but I didn't know it was The Godfather.
Yeah.
Wow.
1986.
Has it ever been released on home video yet? Or anything like that?
No, it's apparently too short. It's only like 15 minutes or so.
They could have done something with that, though. You know, like as much as the secondary market with special features and all that. They could have added like the 3D version with the 3D glasses and the DVD. But then again, DVD is like a dying.
Yeah, dying art.
Dying medium. So, but yeah, like 10 years ago, that would have been a hot DVD. Like you get to interviews with Michael and Spielberg and Tito and Joe.
Yeah, it's closed at Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, Disneyland and Disney World at the moment. So,
so it's not open anywhere.
Anywhere in the world, you're 0-4 in your Disney parks.
You'd think Tokyo would at least, because Japanese people love Michael Jackson. You'd think Tokyo would keep it open.
Tokyo was the first to close it. And
they said, no more Michael Jackson.
No more. He touchy, touchy, the wee, wee, wee. The pee, pee, pee. We gotta get him out of here.
Chopping your pee, pee.
They closed him December 19th of last year. So he's been gone from Tokyo for a long time.
Yeah, I'm looking at the thing on Wikipedia. Yeah, because it looks like most of them closed originally in the mid-90s when all the stuff was going out originally. And then they reopened in 2010.
That's when he died.
And then, yeah, which that's some shady business now that I think about it.
Let's make some money off the guy we didn't support when he was alive.
Yeah, that is, now that I think about it, that is shady, Mark. I don't know why you associate with those people that would do such a thing to the King of Pop. Yeah, that was a Captain EO tribute. Oh, that's the revival. Oh, so that's how they got around it. It was a tribute, Marcus.
Yeah, there was no tribute. It was the same exact show.
There was no mention of it.
There was no acknowledgement of his death or nothing. Like, they at least had done the whole, you know, Michael Jackson.
RIP card.
Nothing. Not a damn thing.
They just slapped tribute outside the building. Uh-huh. It's a tribute.
Let me blow the dust off this film from 20 years ago.
Oh. Tokyo Disneyland announced it would be closing Captain EO to make way for Stitch Encounter.
Oh, Stitch.
So Lilo and Stitch. Really, man, y'all gonna get rid of Lilo and Stitch for Captain Neo for Lilo and Stitch? That is terrible. Yeah, now we had a couple of downers on this show. First Reggie Roby, now this.
Yeah.
That's life, though. Life is happy and sad and all things in between. But if the people want to know how they can talk to you, Marcus, and ask further questions about your trip, how can they get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And you know what next Wednesday is, Nate.
What's next Wednesday, Marcus?
Start of hockey season, Nate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So we should be... According to the terms of a wager, we should be hearing from our friends at Mr. Throwback Thursday and one friend in particular within the next 7 days.
Yeah, we should be, but I don't think we will, so we'll have to come up with something.
He's still trying to figure out how to turn his football team around in our fantasy league. He is the Oakland Raiders right now.
He is.
I wonder if he called himself and fired himself. Yeah, he's had some pretty bad weeks.
But so, yes, we'll have to bring back the hockey minute because I'm going to be doing a lot more NHL stuff at work, so I have to pay even closer attention now to NHL this season.
Why is that? Why are you doing more NHL stuff at work?
They want me to help out with the coverage and stuff, so. Of the people in the office, I'm the one who knows the most about the NHL, probably. So
which is culturally sad.
Yeah, which is
considering you're the black guy.
I know. So
I need what are these white people doing in your office, Marcus?
Not watching hockey.
But to be fair, they are out in what are you at, in L.A.?
Hockey town, man. Come on, what are you talking about? We're two-time champs.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about just in terms of going to the bar or sitting down and watching the game. Like, there's a whole lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
It's not like they're in Detroit.
No.
Sorry, Detroit, but when you live in a town like L.A., there's other things to do than watch hockey.
Yeah, so I will be watching a lot more hockey this year.
Yahoo Sports hockey expert Marcus Vanderberg.
Expert in quotes.
They call him Pucks for short.
We'll start with hockey contributor. How about that? I am no expert in hockey, trust me.
Like, Marcus, give us your analysis. He hit the puck and it went in the net. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Marcus. But you can check me out on Twitter, in the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow us both. Follow the show on Twitter at KOS underscore POD, CosPod on Twitter. Like the show. Share the show on iTunes as well as Stitcher, especially this week, you know, with all the increased focus on podcasts. Make sure you show some love to your favorite podcast, which I'm sure is ours. It's either that or Liberty Football Weekly, which is a top-notch program. And what's the other thing I was going to say? Pipe Bomb Radio. You can check me out on Pipe Bomb Radio with myself and Austin and Felix, my co-host. And this coming week, we're going to be talking to Karma, formerly Awesome Kong and TNA, and still out there doing work. So we're going to talk to Karma. So it should be an interesting conversation.
She's a woman from Los Angeles.
She's from L.A.?
Uh-huh.
Huh. I did not know that. I'll have to ask her if she watches hockey.
I'm going to guess no. but I remember listening to her on Colt Cabana's podcast, and she was talking about, I want to say she grew up in Carson, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah.
So does she talk like a Valley girl?
She's a, I mean, if you want to call it that, I'm not going to say she's
talking. The only reason I'm saying is because, what's her name? Really freaked. The first time I heard her talk in her regular voice, homegirl from Precious, Cabaret Sibide.
Yeah.
Like the first time I heard her talk, she was like so like stereotypically L.A. Valley girl.
She speaks so well. She's so well spoken.
Like you would if you close your eyes, you wouldn't have known if it was her or Tiffany Amber Thiessen talking.
No, she's not on that level. But okay, yeah, she's from Carson. Yeah, so yeah, I asked her about growing up in Los Angeles during the early 90s.
Inside information. So, yeah. Like, did you loot anything during the riots?
Yeah, because she would have been high school when that happened. So yeah, she.
Oh yeah, that's. Yeah, she's probably around my age then.
She's 37, so yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was prime angry black teenager years right there. Especially in on the West Coast.
Yeah.
That was like prime angry black. Fuck the police and all that. I think I wrote that on one of my. You remember when you used to put book covers on your books?
Mm-hmm.
And we used to use shopping bags?
Yep.
And
the other side, flip it over, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the downside is it wasn't a fancy book cover like the people that had, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book covers or the Pro Stars book covers. But the good side was you could just draw and create your own book cover. And I remember I got kicked out of a social studies class for having a Fuck the Police and NWA all over my paperback book cover one day.
What a troublemaker.
To be fair, though, if you're going to have those statements and sentiments, it should be in social studies. Like that should be the place where we can talk about these things.
Yeah.
That's none of my business.
Nope.
Oh, and on that note, we're going to call it quits for another week of the World's Most Dangerous Sports Show. Again, appreciate all the support out there. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes. Like, rate, share, and that'll do it for yet another week. So, unless you got anything else to say, I'm going to close up shop, Marcus, because I think I'm going to go see if I can buy Captain EO on Amazon.
Nah, close it up.
All right. Well, that's right. I can't buy it because it's not available for sale.
You can watch it on YouTube.
Maybe I'll start a Disney podcast just for that, like stuff Disney needs to do. Let me tell you what you should do, Disney. First of all, re-release Song of the South.
What is that?
You know, you've never seen Song of the South or heard about Song of the South? Oh, man. Spoiler alert, you got to go back and listen last week because I drifted off into a tangent about Song of the South. But let's just say it is one of the movies that Disney never really acknowledges anymore. It's locked in the vault. And among the few places you can buy it online, a lot of them are quote-unquote white heritage stores.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Song of the South, second week in a row has been mentioned, so yeah.
Oh, Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You may know Zippity-Doo-Dah, but that's only half the story.
Oh, look at this smiling black man. Ooh, he suggested Vernon.
What's the old line? Like, you think you know, but you have no idea. Like, Zippity-Doo-Dah was a front for a lot of touchy subjects that were brought up in this particular animated / real movie. Yeah. And that's the sad thing about the movie, too, because, like, from a technical standpoint, it's pretty cool because they did that years, like, decades before, like, Roger Rabbit or Cool World, like, where they had the cartoons interact with the people. So from, like, that standpoint, it's like people should know about the movie and talk about it because technically it's a great film, but some of the subject is a bit touchy.
Uncle Remus.
Yes, yes. Uncle Remus, one of the world's greatest storytellers. Yeah, so yeah, do yourself a favor this week if you got like an extra 90 minutes lying around. See if you can track down Song of the South and watch it. I'm sure somebody's got it up online or a torrent or something. But yeah, you have to have Song of the South in your memory bank somewhere, people. That'll change your views on Disney, Marcus.
Wow. Well, thank you for listening to the Diz Unplugged. That's all our Disney talk for the week.
Yeah. You can cross Disney off the list of people that will be sponsoring this show in the future.
Well, as long as they don't ban me from the parts for good, that's all right.
So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Zippity-Doo-Dah. Because you've been down with the King.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's bad. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.